Welcome to Beyond the Divide, where we cut through the noise to uncover the truth that no matter our differences, we're all just people and we're united in a pursuit of a better tomorrow. Join us as we challenge the divide, celebrate our shared humanity, and build a future for ourselves, our families, and our nation. Okay, guys, we're facing a parenting crisis in this country. In February of this year, the Surgeon General declared a public health crisis in the parenting sector. That declaration stated that parents are isolated, exhausted, and overburdened. The younger generation has embraced a phenomenon known as gentle parenting, and I am here to tell you that that can never work. Without discipline in some form, kids are going to walk all over you. There's a video that circulated on social media a couple of weeks ago, and it's showing this kid that's throwing a tantrum in Walmart. And he had to be like 6 or 7 years old. He's a good sized kid, so he's like well beyond the age of a tantrum at all, let alone in the middle of Walmart. And he is just like throwing things off the shelves, and he's breaking stuff, and he's screaming, and he's like yelling at people. And his mom is recording the whole thing, and she's not stepping in any way, shape, or form. And she's just like letting him have this emotional outburst without like intervening whatsoever. So, what is this kid learning from this experience? He's definitely learning narcissistic behavior. He can do whatever he wants with no consequence. Nothing is his fault. And he's also learning that his mom would rather record his behavior to share for clicks than to intervene and actually be a parent. So, at the same time as this parenting crisis, we're also facing a crisis with our youth. In March, there was a study released that cites that social media and excessive screen time are the top two culprits in the youth mental health crisis, and follow that up with lack of parental involvement. Other media outlets are stating that the new parenting normals of constant monitoring and scheduled activities are just leaving families drained. We also have a fertility crisis for those who actually desire to have a family, and a population crisis for those who have decided not to have a family. Our population is not renewing itself. Too many young people are making the decision to not have children, and the reasons are varying widely from convenience to not wanting to bring children into this broken world. So, I want to tell you a story about a group of young men from somewhere around 60 or so BC. And some of you might know them as the 2000 Stripling Warriors. So if you've ever heard this story or you're familiar with it, these young men, they lived in a community with their fellow countrymen, and this was during a time of great war among the people, like crazy wars, population decimating, super destructive. They're wiping out everything. They're taking over lands. They're taking, prisoners. And so when these boys were very young, and it's possible that some of them weren't even born yet, their parents took an oath before God that they would never again use their weapons against another person. And they actually buried all of their weapons, their spears and their swords and everything, in like a giant pit. So they literally could not use them even if they wanted to. So after they take this oath, they're just out in the wide open countryside. They have no protection. And another tribe decides that they're going to take them in and they're going to protect them. And they live this way for several years. And of course, they help out, they contribute to society, they're good citizens, they're very peaceful. And their sons are growing up alongside the children of this other tribe. And then the war really hits home. And the people that are protecting this tribe, they end up involved in a major conflict, and they're dying left and right, and their lands are being conquered, and it's getting pretty bad. So the parents of this tribe of young men, they decide that they need to help their community and the tribe that has been protecting them for so long and has allowed them to live out this oath of peace. And they actually begin considering breaking this oath. Now, this oath was not entered into lightly. These people were some of the worst, most destructive people of their time until they heard about Jesus Christ. And as soon as that happened, they turned their lives over to him. And they made this oath. And so the leader of this other tribe that's been protecting them all this time was like, "You guys, you can't break this oath because if you do, you're gonna lose your souls." Like, it was that important. You promised God himself that you weren't gonna raise your weapons ever again, so you can't. You cannot do this. We won't let you do this for us. And so they go on like this for a few more days, and stuff is just getting worse for this tribe. And suddenly, this idea forms. And the story doesn't really tell us where the idea came from. I would like to think that it was probably from one of these young men, but we don't really know. So this idea comes forward that the parents were the ones that took this oath, and these young men are not. And so they decide that it's okay for them to rise up and to join this tribe and to help protect their families. And through their faith in Jesus Christ that was taught to them from their mothers and their strength and their resilience from their fathers, they go to the leader of this other tribe and they're like, "Okay, we're ready. We're going to march against these invaders. We're going to help save you guys. We're going to help save our families, our lands." And so this leader is like, "Okay, we can totally work with this." And then he sees the size of this group of young men. And there's 2,000 of them that have come to defend their people and their lands and their faith. And so they're preparing to march into battle. And this leader is like, "You guys are so young. You've never even thought of battle. We're about to go up against men who are much older than you, and they've been in battle for like their whole lives." Like, these people had been fighting their entire lives. And so he's just wondering, he's, "Why are you doing this? Like, this is gonna turn out pretty badly for you. And you have to be afraid." And they respond to him and they say, "We have been taught our whole lives to have faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that he will protect us and that no matter what happens, we will be welcomed into his arms." So they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of dying because they knew that he was going to be there. So they march out and they take this immense faith with them, and they are not afraid at all. And they come upon this invading tribe, and because they're so filled with faith and confidence, and they show absolutely no fear at all, they actually frighten the invading tribe and they turn themselves in as prisoners of war because they're just so scared of this group of young men with their confidence and their faith. And this was not the only battle that these young men faced, but having faith and taking the teachings of their parents with them, at one point or another, they were all wounded, but not a single one of them was killed, and they all returned home. There are so many reasons in the world to be afraid for children. I totally get it. I have 8 children alive in this world. I have one who rests in the arms of Jesus, so she's fine. But the 8 that are here, we had them kind of in like 2 sets, essentially. So My older kids are either all adults or very nearly so. And then my younger kids are elementary aged. And we homeschool, but we didn't always. We made the decision to do that when things at school started turning more into indoctrination rather than learning. And when our eyes were open to that, we could see how some of my older children were already being affected. We don't allow cell phones until our kids are of the age that they can have a job and need to have be able to have contact with mom and dad in case there's an emergency or, they break down on the side of the road or whatever. So for most of them, that was 16. And even after they had a cell phone, it was very strictly regulated. They were not allowed to have any type of social media, Facebook, Instagram, nothing. They could only text who was strictly approved, which was most of the time just mom and dad and other family members. And so they didn't have like this just unfettered outlet, access to the internet, stuff like that. For one of my children, that happened a little bit earlier. She was about 12, I think, when we started homeschooling. And by then, she already had tons of friends that had phones. Like, it was crazy. And so for her, she's the youngest of the oldest five. And so she was like 11 when her oldest sister got a cell phone. She was 12 when that same sister got Facebook, and kind of so on and so forth down the line. So she started, like, she's crazy creative, and she started all of these hobbies, and anything that she could wrap her mind around, she would do. And so she had like odd jobs around town. She would walk dogs, mow lawns, pull weeds. She was a farm hand. So she's like doing all this stuff. So she's riding like this little Coleman 200 mini bike to all these places, and those things break down all the time. Like, they're always throwing chains, running out of gas. It's craziness. So she had access to a phone so that she could, call me, let me know when she made it to her babysitting job or whatever. And just that little bit, just those few years, was such a difference. There was such a difference between her and some of my older children because she suddenly had this phone, and all of her friends had a phone. And so she, of course, wanted to be able to talk to all of her friends because she wasn't in school anymore. We had pulled them out of school. And she is like such a social creature. It's crazy. The four older ones than her, they don't even care. And like one of them doesn't even have a Facebook and he's almost 18. The other one has a Facebook and he has like five friends. And so she is very, very different than the other four because she is like wants to be in the middle of everything. She wants to go to the dances. She wants to go to the activities. She wants to keep in contact with her friends all the time. And so just in that few years, there was such a difference between kind of how it went and wrapping our brains around having to keep an eye on her phone to make sure that, she wasn't being groomed or accidentally getting into anything that she wasn't supposed to. It was brand new territory and it's scary. So scary. We take my kids to the park, and I have to tell them all the time, like, if someone grabs you, you scream at the top of your lungs and you run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. We never had to be told that as kids. I was the youngest of a family of five, and we really didn't hang out together. So I rode my bike all over town, and most of the time I was alone. And I probably went farther than my mom ever knew or would ever have approved of. We occasionally played Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, like on the original Nintendo system. And my grandma had an Atari that we loved to play every Thanksgiving. My uncle would challenge us to like high scores on Pong. And we didn't even have cell phones. The internet was not even a thing. So, like, when you see the meme that's like, this is, if you know what this is how old you are, and it's the little computer, and there's a phone, and there's like a bunch of dots between the two, that's how old I am. And that was our first taste of the internet. I think I was like probably a freshman in high school when you could get like the little CD from Walmart and pop it into your computer and access dial-up. So it was not even like we didn't have access to the dark web, Discord, Reddit. We couldn't accidentally stumble upon things that we shouldn't be seeing, things that we shouldn't know about. And so I understand why it's scary for some of you to even think about having children. And I also understand those of you who already have children and you constantly worry about the future that they have to be able to navigate. Parental burnout is a real thing. We try to send our kids to bed by 8 o'clock. Most of the time it's like 8:30, and they're allowed to read a book for a few extra minutes after we send them to bed. But that early bedtime, that gives us a chance to reset and unwind from our day so that we can then be the very best that we possibly can be for them the next day. And this generation of young people, starting from about age 25 on down, you guys are the future. You are the hope for humanity. You will be the ones that are going to fix the problems, and you're going to bring about the next greatest generation. And if you're a parent of a young person in that age group, then you are raising children that will be strong, full of faith, and unafraid. Raise them to have faith in Jesus. Raise them to be stronger than this world. Raise them to be unafraid and to have respect for others, even if they don't agree with their opinion or their worldview. We have to get back to where we respected each other and we didn't tear each other down and call each other deplorable, demeaning things because we didn't agree with something that they were saying. The internet has given us unfettered access to be able to anonymously, if we so choose, say things that we would never say to someone's face. And we have to get back to respecting one another. And we have to teach our children to respect one another and to be okay with the fact that people out there are going to think things completely different from you. It's not always going to be the same. You're going to get out of your tight-knit community and it's going to be a totally different world and it's going to be foreign and it's going to be scary. And that's okay because you are strong enough to navigate that world. We need to trust them. We need to understand that they are the most important people that are alive in this world today. And we need to believe in their potential. We need to be active and involved parents, and as much as possible, keep them active and away from the internet and social media. Let them get a labor-intensive job at a young age. Let them raise an animal. Teach them the sanctity and responsibility of life. Teach them to pray, teach them trust in God, and to have faith in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because that is going to be what is going to give them the strength to go through what is coming. Have grace for other parents and do whatever you can to support one another. Remember, we are all in this together. Go out and strike up a conversation with someone else and have a beautiful day.